Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Today's special word is Gnosticism.
We know that Gnosticism comes from the Greek word for gnosis or knowledge. The Gnostic heresy was one that was around in the first century. Gnosticism is about a special knowledge. It's about immediate knowledge. And when I say immediate knowledge, I don't mean right now knowledge. I mean knowledge that doesn't have to be mediated through a source. Knowledge that doesn't have to be mediated through the Word of God. Immediate knowledge, intuitive knowledge, a knowledge that separates insiders from outsiders.
This is Wretched Radio. That was Dr. Vodi Bakum helping us to understand an ancient concept called Gnosticism, special knowledge. I know stuff you don't. And if you're asking, well, what does that have to do with the evening news? The answer is, a lot.
I use that phrase, ethnic Gnosticism, to sort of explain the phenomenon of people believing that somehow because of one's ethnicity, that one is able to know when something is racist. I remember back in the 90s, I think, there was a saying, it's a black thing, you wouldn't understand, right? And the idea is that, you know, if I go to a restaurant and I sit down at the restaurant and somebody looks at me a certain way, or if I'm shopping in a store and the clerk looks at me a certain way, or if I'm pulled over by a police officer and the police officer addresses me in a certain way, I know when it's racism, and you can't tell me it's not. And even if you do or say something to me, I know if it's racism, and you can't tell me it's not. And in fact, if you do something or say something to me, and I know that it's racism, and then you come back and say, well, no, that's not what I meant, that's just your privilege speaking. Because according to the concept of white privilege, you don't know what you don't know.
Does that sound familiar? Most certainly does. That is happening a lot in our culture. Dr. Vodi Bakum coining the term ethnic Gnosticism, that people of particular ethnic groups, they have a special knowledge that others don't. And it is a knowledge about themselves. And this is an idea that is truly persuasive in keeping the battle lines drawn. Last night, we went to a restaurant celebrating a family birthday. We were actually sitting in a bubble. I'm not kidding. This particular restaurant opening up, courtesy of Herr Fauci. We were put inside of a plastic, the booth has plastic around it now, and only one side where you can actually speak to the waitron, because there are no waiters or waitresses, to the waitron. You could talk to there, but you couldn't. You were like John Travolta, stuck in your bubble. Now, apparently, I didn't know this about COVID. It actually hits plastic and dies, or just falls to the floor and it can't get you, because it wouldn't jump over like the top.
Or go under.
Or it wouldn't come through the actual opening.
Yeah, no.
So apparently we were perfectly safe. And I don't know why, but one of my daughters was saying, I think that woman is like upset with me because I touched the plastic. She keeps looking. Now, what was that woman thinking? And the answer at the table was, don't know. Maybe she overheard us say something she didn't like. Maybe she overheard us say something she did like. Maybe she knew one of us sitting at the table and was just looking to get a second glance. You know how you do that? We didn't know. Ethnic Gnosticism says, I do. I do know what you're thinking, even when you don't know what you're thinking. Now, explained like that alone, on the surface of it, keeping ethnic groups out of it, keeping histories out of it, keeping any genuine injustices out of it, ask yourself the question, is that a biblical idea that I can know your heart? Bible tells me I can't even know my own heart. I need help from people drawing it out. What's bubbling down there? I can't know my own heart. It's so deceitful and wicked. And yet, ethnic Gnosticism, to use Vodi's term, it says, I can know what's going on in your heart, even if you don't, because you actually can't.
You don't know what you don't know, but I do. That's ethnic Gnosticism. This idea that somehow, because of my ethnicity, because of my position as a minority, I know what oppression is and feels like and don't have to necessarily have evidence for it. And because of other people's position of not being minorities and not being oppressed, they actually oppress people without thinking about it and without knowing it. They have privilege that they're not even aware of. And literally the phrase is, you don't know what you don't know. So you have to be taught how racist you are, but nobody has to teach me when you're racist.
If you do not think this hasn't made its way into the church, as we speak, there are countless churches that are having, quote, the hard conversations, informing white people about something they did not know about themselves heretofore, that they are all racist. Now, here's where it does get a bit dicey. The Bible teaches us we really all are, aren't we? Well, we are. We have superiority and pride. And we think that people of different skin colors or different sizes or shapes, or even it becomes increasingly petty. How much money they have, what their SAT score was, how they perform on a field. Those are all things that we use to determine, well, basically, here's what I've concluded. Nobody's as good as I am, because that is our bent. So that does exist. The issue, though, is, are we all acting like that? Is that something that is overtly being acted upon in a conscious way? Or is it something that some of us hate and war against? It would be wrong to say all men are adulterers. Now, all men can lust. That doesn't mean they act on their lust. But ethnic Gnosticism seems to go further. You don't know that you're thinking that way. I do, because you actually are. And it really draws a line. And it keeps us so divided, doesn't it? And that raises another question. Where does this idea even come from?
It is rooted, I would argue, in cultural Marxism that reduces everything to race, class, sex, gender. That divides people up, not like classical Marxism that divides people up into the bourgeois and the proletariat, between the haves and the have-nots, between those who control means of production and those who don't control means of production. But in cultural Marxism, you divide the world between those who establish and benefit from the cultural hegemony and everyone else who is oppressed by it because, for one reason or another, they are not part of that dominant group.
Cultural Marxism afoot again, which is why I would encourage you, my brother or sister, if you have been intrigued by these critical theory ideas, social justice concepts, because your heart is indeed compassionate, you do need to know, there's no doubt about this, that it definitely has roots in Marxism. Now, not full-blown Marxism, but nevertheless in a cultural Marxism. And it seeks to divide for the purpose of what? a dissemination of power and goods. Now, there are many, but we need to ask ourselves the question, so as a Christian, what then is my problem with the idea of ethnic Gnosticism, the idea that I've got to help people understand that they're racist internally, even though they don't know it? What's the problem here? Vodi Bakum helps.
You are a racist, bigot, homophobic, transphobic, everything else phobic person that you could possibly be. Whether you're aware of it or not. Whether you belong to Christ or you don't. Because apparently Christ can transform us and deal with all other sorts of sins, but this one somehow evades the cross. And all people, whether they're Christian or not, are still suffering from this one.
And that is a big problem. Indeed, which is why I would encourage you, if you're trying to promote these conversations for the sake of waking white people up to their sinfulness, ask yourself the question, is this a biblical approach? This is Wretched Radio. And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families. Along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Let me share a sample from our latest evangelistic resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. Christianity is not a blind faith, it's an eyewitness faith. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. The Man Who Split Time is perfect for any skeptic in your life. Whether it's for evangelizing, giving it to your agnostic friend, or handing out to your youth group, The Man Who Split Time will give you all the answers you need about the deity of Jesus Christ. For more awesome proofs that Jesus is God, all you have to do is visit wretched.org/time and order your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. Get your copies today, wretched.org/time. That's wretched.org/time.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Stories are powerful indeed. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Vodi Bachum, if you are not familiar with him, he is a black man who is coining a term called ethnic Gnosticism, that different ethnicities have special knowledge of the feelings and attitudes of other ethnicities. Dr. Vodi Bachum would now like to share a story with you.
With our children the other day, and you know, walking with the seven youngest children, and somebody, you know, looks at them and seen them before, and talking about how big they're getting, and you know, ask, they play in sports? And I said, no, actually, they're all musicians. They're all really concentrating on music right now, not doing these sports. Ha! Looks like you ought to have a basketball team. Now, I say that, and I see some of you shaking your heads, right? Because you're thinking stereotype, right? You're thinking it's racist, right? It was a black family member. Now, let me ask you the next question. Why is it that a black family member can say that to me, and it's not racist, but if a white person said it to me, do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, we do. Dr. Vodi Bachum trying to explain ethnic Gnosticism and how it is simply a subject and a term that we need to understand so that we can put it next to a straight line. What's the straight line? What's the ruler that we use to determine if that's crooked or not? And the answer to that is the Bible. And that is the only way that we will be able to ultimately have truly meaningful two-way conversations about the subject of racism in this country, because currently the secular means and methods which are being imported into the church, they're just not cutting it.
Some of my dearest friends and brothers, in fact, some who, you know, were signers of the document with us, would want to argue for being colorblind. And I say that dog won't hunt. Number one, because nobody is. And number two, because it is an affront to God. God didn't give me all this rich, beautiful melanin so that you could act like I don't have it. Amen, somebody. And it is wrong for me to judge you for not having as much. God did this, people. God did this. And it's a good and natural thing that God has done. For us to say that we want to be colorblind is for us to say, I don't care about the variety of color of roses there are. As far as I'm concerned, God just made a rose. Why did he bother to make them all those different colors? If he did, praise him for it.
Colorblindness. That is an unbiblical idea. Why? It robs God of his glory. Look at what he's done. Look at the inventiveness of the different tribes and nations and tongues. He's brilliant and amazing. And when we say, no, I'm colorblind, first of all, that's not reality. Second of all, God has a purpose to it. God has a transcendent reason for different ethnicities. He is going to get great glory for it. And so when we use the term, well, I'm just colorblind, well, that robs God of his glory.
I know what we're trying to get at when we talk about being colorblind. But if I'm going to say, on the one hand, let's be careful about using the terminology of social justice, then I have to also be even-handed and, on the other hand, say, let's be careful about using terminologies like being colorblind, because that's not right. It's not possible, number one, and it's not right. And I love it, because when people say that, when people say, you know, I'm colorblind and I don't see color, immediately they start giving you evidence. And what's the evidence? The evidence is that I have friends who are this color and I have friends who are that color and I don't have. How do you know that if you don't see?
So needless to say, color blindness is a term we should reject, because God has something bigger in mind. And doesn't that make discussing this biblically so much more meaningful? As opposed to importing all of these terms and ideas, whether it's social justice, critical theory, intersectionality, they're not even warm. They're not even in the game of what God is doing.
Every culture, every nationality, every ethnicity has a history that they can trace. My ethnicity teaches me about providence. Knowing who I come from, how we got here, and how by God's grace we survived, that teaches me about the providence of God. I've been living and serving in Africa for the last 3.5 years, and I've been reminded almost every day, it's amazing that my ancestors were torn away from that continent and experienced the horrors of slavery. And now I was born in the center of the universe, in the greatest nation that has ever existed in the history of the world, and the healthiest, wealthiest, most educated, most prosperous black people on planet Earth are in America.
Different way of looking at it, isn't it? When we use intersectionality, critical theory, concepts of social justice, it will never even come close to discussing the issue of providence. Having a God view, a God lens of what he is doing in history, analyzing what is happening between ethnic groups by using a biblical filter. And that is why, if you are an individual who is embracing these contemporary ideas, which are really repackaged older ideas from the 20th century, ask yourself the question, do they compete with the biblical narrative? Do they even come close to getting to the root of the problems that we are having?
There is great sin in our history. Atrocities that have been committed against people in this country. And you don't get to do that and not have consequences later on down the line. Let's not miss that when we talk about this. Let's not let the only thing that we do when we talk to our children about this is say, yeah, these people are using, you know, this language, and they're talking about these issues, and they're making this everything, and that, yeah, that may be true, but it's also true that what we're dealing with today is the fruit of horrible sins and atrocities. And you don't have to be a social justice warrior to acknowledge that.
That's a great word, isn't it? And a biblical worldview can accept that, can't we? That what we are seeing in our culture, bad things have happened in this country. And I'll tell you, I've seen some really creative history making it sound like slavery was the most wonderful thing that ever happened in America. Not if you were a slave. And not if you struggled and suffered and didn't have liberties and freedoms that you and I take for granted. And that's going to be felt. And that can be a generational consequence concept. That such bad things cause a rippling effect. Now, the question is, how do we go about dealing with the sins of our fathers and grandfathers? We don't need secular ideas. We need biblical ideas, big biblical concepts. That is what we need whilst avoiding ditches.
There's a ditch on both sides of the road, folks. There's a ditch on the side of the road that tries to act colorblind and act like ethnicity doesn't matter and act like ethnicity is unimportant. And there's a ditch on the other side of the road that says it's everything. And that we start there and not with the cross.
And we need to start in the Bible, which addresses all of these issues, which dismantles it, diagnoses it, gives it the correct prognosis, and it tells us that there is actually a cure for these things. And one day, all of these struggles, all of these warrings, they will have a glorifying benefit. That is the conversation we should be having. Not with current contemporary ideologies that are so divisive, but with biblical ideas which are transcendent. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text. An effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the mission ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. The domino is still falling from the Center for Medical Progress's 2015 investigation into the trafficking of aborted fetal tissue. Last week, the organization Judicial Watch announced it had obtained records revealing details about the U.S. Food and Drug Administration's contract with Advanced Bioscience Resources, the firm accused of selling unborn baby body parts it bought from Planned Parenthood. The documents show the hefty prices the government paid for supposedly donated tissue. The Trump administration did end the FDA contract with ABR back in September of 2018, and the Department of Justice has been investigating Planned Parenthood for its involvement in the fetal tissue trade since 2017. David DeLeiden, project leader at the Center for Medical Progress, said the evidence keeps on piling up, so it's very confusing that the Department of Justice would be allowing this activity to continue for so long. Noting the department much quicker to crack down on Native American tribes selling eagle body parts. This spring, HHS announced the formation of a Human Fetal Tissue Research Ethics Advisory Board. They have 105 nominations. They are vetting them now for possible board members. The board plans to meet in July to determine whether research groups that use tissue from aborted babies qualify to receive federal funding. Planned Parenthood sued the state of Iowa Tuesday after the state legislature passed a bill earlier this month that would require women to wait 24 hours before getting an abortion. Republican Governor Kim Reynolds signed the bill into law Monday afternoon, the legislation to take effect Wednesday. Planned Parenthood arguing forced waiting periods waste time and shame women. But pro-life advocates say the required pause will give women extra time to consider their options. The co-sponsor of the bill, Representative Sandy Salmon, a Republican, said that we hoped that the 24-hour waiting period would give a woman a chance to let her baby live. That is the hope. Lord have mercy. Missouri's last abortion facility sadly received its license from the state health department following a year of legal wrangling over health code violations. The state had refused to renew Planned Parenthood's license for its St. Louis center in 2019 after an inspection uncovered a few failed abortions. The Missouri Administrative Hearing Commission, though, ruled in May the facility could continue performing abortions. After a final inspection, the state health department issued the license on Thursday. Pro-life Governor Mike Parson, a Republican, announced he would not appeal the commission's findings. And good news? A baby born December 20th, 2019, at 21 weeks gestation, went home from a Georgia hospital June 21st. Jamarius Harbor Jr. was born 4 days earlier than the previous record holder, which makes Master Jamarius the youngest surviving preemie ever. Keeping this young man and his family in our prayers, and the medical staff too, because they could have, as others have, just given up, but they didn't. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Important dates in Christian history. 1540. The Society of Jesus is approved by the Vatican. Founded by Ignatius Loyola, the Jesuit order sent out zealous missionaries throughout the world, counteracting the Reformation and bringing Roman Catholic Christianity to the Americas. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Perhaps no example is the best example. This is Wretched Radio. Dr. Vody Bauckham helping us understand why we find so many conversations these days to be divisive. Ethnic Gnosticism, a concept, he's coined the language, but I think it's accurate. We see that some ethnic groups, they have a hidden secret knowledge and ability to diagnose other people's hearts, specifically those of other ethnicities. And the current diagnosis is all white people are racist. All white people don't know it, but they are, because we do know it. That's ethnic Gnosticism. And to try to demonstrate perhaps how really awful that structure is, I can't give a counterexample without being incredibly uncomfortable. And I think it's not because of the cultural pressures. It's because I don't think that I could talk like this. In order to say, this is what it's like, this is what's being done with ethnic Gnosticism, I'd have to turn the table. And I would have to say that as a white man to a black person, this is what you're harboring in your heart. So I'd have to concoct something that perhaps is a stereotype about black people and say, that's you. You do that bad behavior. You don't know it, but you do. I don't even want to come up with example because I wouldn't speak so offensively to somebody. And yet, that's exactly what's happening with ethnic Gnosticism. I think that's fair. Somebody does not possess a Gnostic knowledge because of skin color or because of experience. That's just not the way the universe operates. You don't have that. And you don't know what's going on inside of somebody's heart any more than I know what's going on inside of your heart. And I can't look at you and know. Have you ever been in that little conversation with your spouse? You say something to your spouse that you thought was perhaps unifying, that it was going to bring this thing together. And the spouse goes, I can tell. I can see it by the look on your face. And you respond, defensive. No, I don't know what my face is doing. I'm telling you, this is my heart and this is what I'm saying. Don't you get frustrated with that? And so it is when one people group says, all y'all in this people group, you're all behaving horribly. All of you. And you don't know it. If you're not awakened to that idea, it's because of your white privilege. Can you imagine turning the tables and doing that? I can't do it because I think it would just be such a it would be such an unhelpful thing to do. I mean, no, I'm with Vody Bauckham and Vody. I think of something that our culture would say that's typically more of a black thing than a white thing. And let's just say it's a bad thing. And I said, well, Vody, that's you. And Vody said, well, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. I know, Vody, I know it because I'm white. You're black. You don't know it, but I do. That would just be absolute. You want to blow up the social media? That would do it right there. And yet, that's precisely what's happening inside of our churches. Right now, pastors who have bought into ethnic Gnosticism, who have listened to stories that claim all white people are racist, are now calling together their congregation to have, quote, hard conversations. And those hard conversations are basically, you're racist, and you need to be aware of it, and you need to stop it. And the fact that you don't know it makes it worse because you have white privilege. That's exactly what's happening right now. And I would like to encourage all of us to rethink that. Is there sin in the human heart? Yeah. Are there issues we need to deal with? Clearly. We see it happening, do we not, in the book of Acts? What was going on with the Greek widows? They weren't getting the same stuff. There was an ethnic disparity happening. And the leaders needed to step in and say, hey, whoa, we've got to do this right here. This is an unfair treatment. They dealt with the issue. They did not go about the business of identifying everybody as being guilty, and especially when they said, well, no, actually, I'm not. I'm not. I've been actually giving some of my food to the Greek widows. Nope, you don't know it, but you're robbing the Greek widows. I'm not robbing the Greek widows. Yes, you are, because I know it. That's not what we see. We deal with the issues. They need to be addressed. Of course they do. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But this is not the means and the method of doing it. It's just not biblical. And ultimately, Dr. Vody Baucom, it's not at all helpful.
The fact that there has been a false unity that has been exposed through these controversies. And people who, you know, were brothers from another mother. And now this comes up. And if you say the wrong thing or come down on the wrong side of a particular issue, all of a sudden you are anathema.
Wow. What are we doing to one another? Based on, I have a feeling that this is the way you're thinking. The consequences of this have been woofda.
I get emails several times a week from people, pastors, church members, leaders of ministries, who for years, for decades, have been faithful, who are found to hold the wrong position on some case in the media, or who are found to not think highly enough about some particular approach to a social justice issue, and now all of a sudden, you're done. This hinders genuine relationships. When we can't be honest with each other, where we are not free to err, that's not a genuine relationship. Ethnic Gnosticism is destroying genuine relationships.
It is. Really is. It's not promoting conversation. It's shutting them down. Now, let's just say that conversations are actually honest and transparent, and somebody has something wrong. It would never be known. We wouldn't know it. Why? Because we don't get to talk about it. True Christian dialogue is when we get together because I do love you, and I do believe you love me, and now we try to help one another. And ethnic Gnosticism, social justice theories, critical race theory, it is stifling these things and it is shutting them down. And I need to say it again because there are issues that need to be addressed. Can we please not make this an either or, but it can be a both and? Can we do that? Can we say, yep, there are things that still need work in our country. There are still things that need work in our churches. There are still things that need work in our hearts. But can we do it in a way that is biblical? This is what Christianity should be about. This is where we should be shining. And instead, we're adopting ideas, modern-day concepts of racism and modern-day ideologies that aren't biblical, and they're not helpful.
This idea of guilt and innocence being inherited. This idea that because of who your parents were, you've inherited guilt or you've inherited innocence. That white people can't not be racist, and black people can't be racist. Yeah, because, you know, the modern definition of racism, prejudice plus power. What's the power? The power is the cultural hegemony. If you are not part of the cultural hegemony, then you technically can't be a racist. How about that? How about that? So a predominantly white church that doesn't have black members is in sin, but a predominantly black church that doesn't have white members is, it just is. One of those groups needs to repent in sackcloth and ashes, and the other, nothing wrong.
That is the challenge before us. What language are we going to use? What theories? What ideas? What concepts are we going to adopt to deal with what are genuine problems? If you are hearing that this is a white guy who doesn't want to deal with problems, I'm not even in that ballpark at the moment. The playing field for Christians is, what is going to guide us through this? What is going to genuinely help us not cause division and acrimony, but unity, which is sweet to God? That is the question before us, and I would challenge you to please think it through very, very carefully. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate that you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. I was just thinking about our newest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know what? We could hand that out to everyone we know who's a little bit skeptical. And of course, there's the atheist who's a whole lot skeptical. And then I thought, why not hand it out to church members too? So if you have friends and or family, either or both, get them a copy of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God at wretched.org/time. Seems the world is intent on persuading us that Jesus was a good man, a fine teacher, but really no more than that, when we know that's not true. And the proof is in the Bible. He is God in the flesh. It is a must-read for you, friends, family. Wretched.org/time to get your copy of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached, so permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabel.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
It's amazing, isn't it? With all the TV channels and streaming services, how little there really is to watch on television. Well, what's worth watching? So, with most folks stuck inside a whole lot more right now, you've probably run out of stuff to watch on Netflix. Well, look no further. Wretched has got you covered. Wretched TV. Visit wretched.org/TV for over 2,600 episodes of sound biblical teaching. You'll see live witnessing encounters, hear topics ranging from pneumatology to abortion to counseling, and hear relevant topics in the Christian community. Wretched.org/TV. So do yourself a favor. Take a break from the multitude of channels and all the streaming services that offer, well, really nothing, and binge watch Wretched TV instead. Visit wretched.org/TV for all things wretched. That's wretched.org/TV. Now, where's my clicker?
Books of the Bible. Haggai was a prophet around the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. When the efforts to rebuild the temple had stopped, Haggai encouraged the people to continue and reminded them of God's presence among them and the importance of assembling together to worship. When you consider your priorities, give careful attention to the worship of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The devastating problems with contemporary solutions to ancient problems. This is Wretched Radio. Ethnic division always existed. God has a solution. It's called biblical justice. Current theories are social justice theories, using critical race theory as the mechanism to bring about equality. Another terminology that is used a lot would be systemic racism, white privilege, wokeness, all new ideas. The question is, are they biblical? Because if they are not, we must simply reject them. That does not mean we avoid the issue. It doesn't mean we don't deal with these subjects. It doesn't mean that we're trying to just maintain power so that we can be an oppressor. That's just not Christian. We want to deal with the issues, but we want to do it biblically. Dr. Vodibacham helping us see the problems with the idea of all of this terminology. And one I had never pondered. Leave it to Vodi to think it through.
I went to school at the University of Oxford in England. Some people think I went to Oxford because I'm pretentious. But I did the last year of my D-Man at Southeastern as the first year of the D-Phil at Oxford. I didn't just want to get a second doctoral degree. I wasn't that, just not a glutton for whatever. But why Oxford? Do you know one of the main reasons that I did that? Is because if I left the United States and went to a school in the UK, no one could accuse the institution of granting me my degree because of tokenism or affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
I was sick and tired of the assumptions that people make because of this attitude that says, your skin color makes you the weaker brother.
Mm.
And we have to lower the standard for you.
Mm. Have you thought it through in those terms? In essence, that this group of people has been oppressed by another group of apparently more powerful people? Smarter people? Better people? And now they need their help to get out of the situation that they're in. Whoa. If you frame it like that, it is a nasty business that we engage in when we use social justice ideology. But there are more problems with these modern day ideas.
This brand of self-flagellation has become the new form of enlightenment on race issues. It qualifies as a kind of worship. The parallels with Christianity are almost uncannily rich. White privilege is the secular white person's original sin. Present at birth and ultimately ineradicable. Mm. One does one's penance by endlessly attesting to this privilege in hope of some kind of forgiveness. This new cult of atonement is less about black people than white people. That's the great irony. 50 years ago, a white person learning about the race problem came away asking, how can I help? Today, the same person too often comes away asking, how can I show that I'm a moral person? Another problem is that I'm not sure that today's educated whites quite understand how unattainable the absolution they are seeking is. You'll never be sorry enough. We have gone from most whites being unaware that racism was a problem for black people at all to whites being chilled to their bones at the possibility of harboring racism in their souls, terrified at the prospect of being singled out as a heretic, and forgetting that the indulgences they purchase and the praying they do for their souls has more to do with them than with anyone black.
The gospel forgives all sins. Social justice theory, Mm-mm-mm. There is one sin that is greater than all. It is the sin of racism. And it almost seems like there is never a relief of that burden of guilt. Ethnic Gnosticism, the subject, the term that Vodi Bakum coined, that you don't even know that you're racist. And you need to be awakened to that because there is a group of people who does know that you're racist even though you don't. Fraught with problems.
This idea that you don't know what you don't know, and don't tell me because I know. Don't try to explain yourself because I know. I talked about it earlier. People who have been for decades serving their communities, loving their brothers and sisters, who all of a sudden run into the religion of racialism, and say, I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't care that you have been marching at abortion clinics for two decades because of the slaughter of black babies. I want to know how sorry you are about the latest issue.
That is ethnic Gnosticism. Seemingly, the premier issue in our culture and in our hearts and in our churches.
Essentially, what's happening in many circles is that there are people who, regardless of what it is that they've done, regardless of who it is that they've been, if they slip up on one of these issues, you quote the wrong person. You come down on the wrong side of an issue, and all of a sudden, the rest of your life doesn't matter. You just proved all of that was a lie because you, my friend, are a racist. And racism is the new unpardonable sin.
That is not Christianity. That's the culture, the shame culture, the we're going to shut you down culture. We are now going to boycott you culture. We are not going to let you make a movie culture. That's how the world is treating people who don't say everything exactly the way that it is supposed to be said these days. Does that sound like Christianity to you? So ask yourself a question, my friend. If you have been excited about the new religion of raciality, social justice issues, consider the people that you're partnering with. How are they behaving? How are they acting? How are they treating others? And it should at least cause you to ask, maybe there's something wrong with these contemporary ideas. Maybe they're just not Christian.
This is another great irony of ethnic Gnosticism. Another great irony is that sometimes, and it's, I'm just speaking for myself, sometimes I feel like I'm being robbed of my sanctification. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is if these issues that we're dealing with that are now, you know, at the forefront, if these issues are only about the hearts of white people that need to be made right, then the stuff in me doesn't get dealt with.
So there's another deficiency to these ideas. There's only one group these days who are sinners. Only one group of people that are doing bad things. White people who are not awakened to the fact that they have racism harboring in their hearts. They have white privilege and they have not been aware of it. They are racist. That's the focus of our contemporary conversation. Well, I'm pretty sure Vodi, like every other human being, like every white person, black person, yellow person, well, they've got sin issues too. Those just aren't being addressed or discussed in these contemporary definitions of how we're dealing with sin in our culture.
What does this mean for you when a white brother says something that is offensive? What do you do? Do you fold your arms and wait for him to be sorry? What do you do? What does a non-black person do if they run into ethnic Gnosticism and feel like it's not fair? What do you do? Well, the answer is here. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what my book says.
That is not what social justice, critical theory, or ethnic Gnosticism teaches. Please ask yourself the question, am I importing unbiblical ideals into my Christian worldview, and is it time to reject them? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.